Beloved, as we prepare to enter into Lent in a few weeks, we continue our preparation with the gospel readings that we hear. Last Sunday, beginning with the Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee, and today continuing with Jesus telling us the parable of the prodigal son. And it's helpful for us to understand this parable that in the prayers of the church at confession, and there are many different confession prayers, the Father in the parable is understood to be Christ Jesus himself. It is Christ Jesus who is the Father. And we ourselves can find ourselves in the place of both the prodigal and also of his brother. For this gospel is a story of sin, of repentance, return, and restoration. Of sin, in that this younger son tells his father, in essence, I wish you were dead. Give me my half of the inheritance now. And then he spends it in loose living till he has nothing left. And he's feeding pigs, unclean animals for Jews. They would not eat them, they would not tend them. And for his life, he has to rely on feeding pigs. And repentance. Jesus says, he came to himself. He came to his senses. He understood whom he had hurt, who he had fled. And he desires to leave this place and return. And so he does. But he doesn't know Christ truly yet. Because he's going to go back and say, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Make me one of your hired servants. In essence, punish me. He doesn't yet know that Christ, who gives him his half of the inheritance without a question, without a warning, without an admonition, is not going ever to receive him back as a slave. Daughters and sons of God, though we call ourselves his servants, and as we heard in the Kentuckian of this day, receive me back as one of your hired servants, we say this, but at the same time, we must understand that God never receives us as servants. He never is punishing us. He is welcoming us as daughters and sons who return to him, as one who waits and waits and waits for us, anxious for us to come back to him. This is what the younger son learned, finally, in coming back to his father. For his father didn't merely receive him, but ran to him. Didn't just run to him, gave him a ring. Didn't just give him a ring, but put clothes on him. Didn't just put clothes on him, but shoes on his feet. And not just shoes, but a banquet. He slayed the fatted calf for him. He rejoices that this one who was lost is found. He receives him as a son. Not a slave. But then there's the other son. Father and older son see the same thing happen. This younger one come back, and they have two opposite reactions to it. The father receives the younger son, showering glory on him. But the older son, he's busy judging his brother. Look what life he led. He spent it with prostitutes. And you're throwing him a party? So the older one is not only judging his brother, he's judging Christ. He's making judgment of Christ's welcoming back the sinner. But Christ, even then, as he tells this parable, he tries to encourage this older son. Don't you see with my eyes? Your brother, my son, gone away, lost, left for dead, is back alive in my house with you. He tries to lead him, the older brother, back, to lead him inside to joy. Because the older brother, externally, he appears close to his father. He's in his house, he does everything he says, but in his heart, he's far away. He's perhaps even further away than his brother who ran away, because he's not concerned with welcoming back the one who was lost. He's concerned with what he thinks is justice. It's not right, Father, that you receive him back this way. Look at me, look what I do. Don't you do this for me? This certainly shows to us that any understanding of human justice does not apply to God, does not apply to Christ. He only sees us as his daughters and sons. We who run off from him in sin to separate ourselves from him. And he eagerly seeks to have us back. And when we come back in repentance, which includes sorrow for our sins, but even more, it means turning away from looking at our sins and looking at him, at Christ in us. Repentance is about facing God, about coming back to him. That we need to come to understand this in our life. That though we sin, though we separate ourselves from him, he always envelops us in his embrace, takes us into himself when we come back and when we return. He's not wagging his finger at us. He's not saying you should have known better. He's not saying I told you so. He's not saying I could have seen this happen, you know. Never, never from God. Maybe it's what we experience in this world, but that's not God. That's not what the Father did, not what Christ does. He receives us into himself. And if we catch ourselves making judgment of someone else, a sinner who comes back, woe to us. Christ will still try to bring us around, to help us see that we're not righteous either. There is sin in us. There's no one without sin. So no one of us should stand in judgment of another one who comes back, because we are all his lost sheep. All sheep he seeks. All prodigal sons and daughters whom he looks for and comes after and runs to welcome us into himself. This we need to have in mind as we come close to Lent, not only through Lent, but through our whole lives, that whenever we sin, whenever we may think that we've committed such a sin we can't be forgiven, God will forgive us. Christ will forgive us and return us into himself when we turn our face to him, when, like the prodigal, we turn from looking at the pigsty of sin and instead set our face upon him who is in us, who always is in us. But we lose sight of him, trying to separate ourselves from him when we commit sin. But he is there waiting to welcome us, to put the ring on our finger, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, to slay the fatted calf for us, sinners that we are.